Hi, this is Tiffany the Last.
And Dominic.
I'm more on the phone with Damian Filer of Big Ben Biofuels. Hi, Damian.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks. So, Damian, there's lots of alternative fuel choices out there right now, biodiesel, vegetable powered, and ethanol. What kind of car are you driving?
I'm driving a diesel. It's a Mercedes diesel, and I had it converted to be able to run on 100% vegetable oil, and I'm sure over the course of this interview we can talk a bit about different types of systems. I did a good amount of research, although I don't have any automotive or mechanical background, just an interest in wanting to be able to do what I need to do with my vehicle for my business and my family, and try and minimize the amount of harm I was doing while I was driving, and came to the conclusion that of all the alternatives out there, that this was the best one.
So how did you come to that conclusion when, you know, obviously biodiesel is another option with diesel cars. How did you come to the conclusion to go full vegetable oil?
Well, the first thing that I looked at was just the hybrids that are on the market, things like the Prius. And, I guess I had a fair amount of reticence about, first of all, spending that much money on a new car, particularly when the technology is in such a fluid state right now. I think that very likely what we'll see within a few years is that the dominant hybrid technology will have changed dramatically, and it may not be the best time to invest in something like that. That, coupled with the fact that I felt that, as happy as I am individually, that we're seeing, as Tiffany mentioned, a number of alternatives popping up now, I still wasn't super excited, to be quite frank, about the idea of rewarding the auto industry and the oil industry by buying a new car that still ran on gasoline. When you look at biodiesel, there's a couple of drawbacks there. One, for me, living in Tallahassee, Florida, which is a relatively small city, I don't have access to it. There's not a single gas station in my area or within an hour's drive of where I live. Or more, for that matter, where I can get biodiesel.
Mm-hmm.
And even the biodiesel that people can get is really, most of it, there are different grades, different percentages that is regular diesel gasoline versus a biomass, you know, type of product. But most of them are like 85% diesel gas, which is just the same polluting diesel that you run without any sort of mixture. So to me, that just wasn't enough to make mm-hmm. the kind of difference that I was interested in. Burning vegetable oil is carbon neutral, so you're really not causing any sort of significant pollutant or emission that has any impact on the atmosphere by burning vegetable oil. And so it seemed to me that's the way to go. And then to go back to a point I made earlier, one of the things that I really liked about this alternative was that I was able to go out and buy a used car, which cost less money, which was not causing another automobile to be manufactured and giving money directly to the auto or the oil industry. You can take any vehicle that has a diesel engine in it, from a semi-truck to a boat to a car, and in the United States, the manufacturers that have diesels on the road are predominantly in cars are predominantly Mercedes and Volkswagen. But if you look at trucks, pickup trucks, most of the major auto manufacturers make their larger trucks in a diesel engine as well. So
mm-hmm.
There are a whole range of different types of vehicles for just about any use that you can get pretty easily that run on a diesel engine. By burning vegetable oil in a used car, I'm recycling and spent less money in the long run, and I think I'm going to do the most good.
Now, to go back real quick, use the term carbon neutral. You hear that a lot. How exactly is burning with or fueling with vegetable oil carbon neutral?
Well, I mean, it's really just the fact that pure vegetable oil, without any additives in it, without any gasoline in it, it doesn't have anything in it that would cause those type of emissions. So, the kind of joke or the thing that you often hear is that it's, you know, the same as making French fries. And the fact of the matter is that that's really true. And one of the nice things about vegetable oil is you can use what's called, there are two terms, SVO and WVO. SVO is straight vegetable oil, meaning that you're basically getting a new vegetable oil like a restaurant or you yourself would use to cook with at home. That's one option. Another option is to actually take used vegetable oil, which is pretty readily accessible from restaurants after they've used it and they have the waste oil that they have to dispose of anyway, to take that, filter the food particles out of it, and then use that. That has a couple of big advantages. One is that it's free, if you're willing to go to the trouble of filtering it. And the other is that it's another way to recycle. It's another way to use something that's already been used and ultimately isn't going to cause those kind of emissions.
Mm-hmm. So you purchased, you said, a used vehicle, diesel engine, and then you had to convert it. What are the converting costs and what's the process with that?
Yep, good question. And the answers are variable, so I'll try to give you some, a range on some of these answers. But first of all, any diesel engine, diesel engines were created over 100 years ago, and the purpose of them at the time was to be able to run on peanut oil. So the engines that they're building in vehicles today are obviously intended to run on diesel fuel, so it takes some modification, although there's actually debate about that. People will tell you, and I believe that they're right, that you could take any diesel vehicle and walk out there and pour vegetable oil directly in the tank and run it, and it would be just fine. And for the most part, that's true. You wouldn't even have to convert it. The catches that you run into are, one, ironically, the oil is much cleaner than the diesel fuel, so it will tend to break up some of the deposits that the diesel fuel has left, and that can actually be damaging to your system. But the main common reason not to do that in most climates is that when it gets colder, oil congeals more thickly and more quickly than does diesel fuel, which has additives in it that stop it from congealing. So if you live in a colder climate and you wake up on a cold morning and you have straight vegetable oil in your system, when you turn it on, you could have a problem. So you'd have to do something like have a heating block or preheat the car. That's kind of a pain. And so the reason, even though I live in a relatively warm climate myself and most of the year this wouldn't be an issue, I went ahead and had a system installed. And I used a company called Golden Fuel. They're based in Missouri. I've had a great experience with them, but I think that there are a number of companies out there that are doing similar things, and I'm sure doing them just as well. But the way that I did this, being in northern Florida, I ordered the kit from them, and then they, like other companies, have installers in different parts of the country who are certified to do the installations of their systems. For me, the closest one was in Tampa, which was a few hours away. I brought the car there after I purchased it, had the kit delivered directly there, and they installed it there. The costs are, like I said, are pretty variable. First of all, buying a diesel vehicle, I mean, it absolutely runs the gamut. You know, if you look on places like eBay and Auto Trader and stuff, you know, you can find a lot of these old Mercedes, many of which that have been taken pretty good care of, or things like a newer VW Jetta, things, you know, or a Passat, things like that, you know, that start at a couple few thousand dollars in good working order. And, you know, obviously you can go up and spend as much as you want on, mm-hmm. on a vehicle. The conversion itself, there are all kinds of custom options. The size of the tank and the shape of the tank, the type of tank that you get for, you know, depends a little bit on the vehicle you have, how big a tank you're going to want to have. If you have a truck, you're going to want a larger one, a car, a smaller one. So all those things are variable.
Is this an additional tank to the standard tank on the car?
That's correct. The way that this works, and I'll back up and explain this. The way that my car is set up right now, it has the same diesel tank that it came with when it was manufactured. And then it also has a completely separate tank, which was mounted in the trunk, which is for vegetable oil. And the way that I get around one of the reasons to have the two systems that way, and it's the way that I don't have to worry about the cold weather issue, is that when I crank the car up, I do it on there's a little switch that they mounted under my steering wheel. When I crank the car up, I do it on diesel. And I just let the engine warm up to its regular operating temperature, which takes a minute or two. And then I just flip the switch, and then when I'm driving, I'm using it's just pulling from the vegetable oil tank instead of from the diesel tank.
Okay.
So that's the way that system works. Like I say, there are different systems out there. There are people who are just putting additives, or first of all, there's people who, like I said, are winging it, doing nothing at all. And I think probably a lot of them aren't really having any problem if they're, you know, running in the right climates. Then there are systems that are much simpler than the one I have, that basically just puts a heating coil on the fuel line so that it's heating up the vegetable oil before it gets put through the injector. The system I went with is kind of the most elaborate, the most extreme version of this, and frankly, I did it that way because I'm not a mechanic. I don't have any, you know, I just figured I'd rather play it safe and do this in the way that I thought would be the lowest maintenance, you know, and would, you know, leave me with a reliable vehicle. So that's what I did. Again, it's a little tricky on the cost for these things. If you look at the high end of, you know, you could spend a few thousand dollars to do the whole installation thing, but there are certainly ways to do it for a lot less.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the hassles or changes in your routine that you've had to do since the converting your car?
Good question. I thought this through from the standpoint of wanting to use my car as an example to try to get other people interested in doing this, because for me the motivation here was environmental, and if, you know, me being the only, and I'm not that I would be, but, you know, being the only one doing this isn't going to really make much difference. So I wanted to do this in such a way that I thought I could interest other people in it and make them see it as something viable. And it's really worked well. I have a couple little things on the back of my car that say powered by, you know, biofuel and things like that to get people's attention. And I've had people stop me in traffic at a red light and jump out and ask me how to find out more information. And
great.
All kinds of stuff like that. You know, people are really interested. They want to know. And this is really the difference. When I talked to people about this before I did it, and it was hypothetical, I think a lot of people kind of thought, well, I don't know. You know, that sounds interesting, but it's kind of kooky. I can't really picture it.
Yeah.
But when I'm standing there, you know, checking out of a, you know, restaurant or whatever, and I get into a conversation with the person at the counter, and I can point out the window and say, yeah, that's my car right there, and it looks like a normal car, you know, and it's even a pretty nice car, frankly, and cost me a lot less, even with the conversion, than it would have to go and buy even the junkiest of new cars that have no, you know, progressive technology and no, you know, no real benefits. So
right.
I spent about half what I would have on the cheapest new car, and I've got a nice, safe car that I can use for business. Works well for my family and doing something decent. But to get to your specific question on how it changes your routine, there's a learning curve at the front end. You have to figure some of this stuff out, and part of what I'm trying to do is make that easier by sharing, you know, my experience with people so that they can go from 0 to 60, so to speak, a little quicker. One thing that's really nice, that's certainly not a hassle, but that is a change, is not having to go to the gas station. I have a little wooden shed out behind my house, and I keep my vegetable oil in there, and when it's time to fill up, instead of driving to the gas station, I just back the car up to the shed and open the trunk and grab a container of vegetable oil and pour it in right there. So it's nice to not have to smell the gasoline, and it's nice to know that if I get it on my hands, I could lick it off instead of going to wash my hands. It's, you know, the only other thing I could think of that I would characterize as any downside is that, you know, that I lost some of my trunk space.
Yeah.
You know, to put the tank in there. Depending on the kind of vehicle you have, there are different ways to mount it. I just saw a picture of an SUV of some kind. I don't know if it was a Suburban or something, where somebody had taken the spare tire that would normally be mounted under the truck, and they just mounted it on the back door, like a lot of trucks have anyway, and then mounted the tank under there, so it didn't even take up any of their passenger space.
Oh,
or anything.
Okay.
And you mentioned your shed. How much oil do you have out there? How much do you have to keep stored up, and how much does it cost?
I mean, how much you keep, it just depends on how you're getting it and how much you're stockpiling at a time. I'm kind of going both routes right now. I found a, if you walk in, like in, and again, I'm sure prices on diesel are variable, and then they're geographically variable as well. And the same is probably true with vegetable oil to a certain degree. If I walk into a supermarket in the community that I live in right now and just buy a gallon of vegetable oil like I would bring home and cook with, it's about $6 a gallon, and that's about twice what a gallon of diesel gas is right now. But if you go to restaurant suppliers where you can buy it at wholesale rates and quantities, it comes down quite a bit to between $3 to $4 a gallon. So there is a restaurant wholesaler here in town where I just go in and I can buy it in, I think they're 5 or 6 gallon jugs, and like I said, they average out to be between $3 and $4 a gallon. So that's not bad, and I keep a little stockpile of those, you know, 4 or 5 containers of those. And then I also have one restaurant now, although I'm in talks with a couple of others, but I've got one restaurant that is very close to my house where I pass by all the time. You know, and I bring in buckets and leave them there, and they fill them up with their waste oil for me, and so I'm stockpiling waste oil too. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of, you know, doing it on both ends. And so, you know, like I said, if you were just doing waste oil, you could legitimately say that you were paying nothing to keep your car going. The way I figure it, I'm, you know, when all said and done, if I'm splitting it, you know, then I've taken the $3 to $4 a gallon and knocked it back to, you know, between $1.50 and $2 a gallon on average that I'd be paying to run my car.
And then you also, it's a diesel engine, so you're getting better gas mileage anyway, correct?
Absolutely. That's another real benefit with diesels. I was driving a little Subaru before this, and it only got about 25 miles to the gallon. This Mercedes that I'm driving now is much larger and much more substantial car, and it gets between 35 and 40 because it's a diesel engine.
Yeah.
And do you have to filter the used oil from the restaurants?
You do. Basically, the way that works, and again, like anything, there's, you know, a few different ways to do this, but the simplest way that I've found is that you take your bucket of unfiltered oil and then you pour it through what basically is a filter that you can get for a few bucks a piece from the place that you get your conversion kit from. So when you're doing this, you have a mesh, kind of cloth mesh bag that's the filter that you pour through. And so the mesh will let the oil, the clean oil, stream right out, but any of the food particles or things like that, it'll keep in there. So that's really all there is to the filtering. And then when you pour the filtered oil into your gas tank, there's a built-in filter that's part of the system in the car as well. So any really small particles that you may have missed, it should catch there. And one of the other parts of the installation kit that I have is a gauge that's in my dash now, just like a gas gauge. It's just a pressure gauge that will tell me basically if the filter that I have in the engine is working too hard. In other words, if I've kind of filled it up with anything that shouldn't have gotten in there, then I just change that filter out.
Having the two tanks kind of addresses another big question that I think people may have using this alternative fuel is, if you go on a long trip, how are you fueling the car if you're not around your shed?
Well, a couple things there. One is that one potential benefit, although because I'm not interested in using the diesel tank other than just to start it up, like I mentioned before, you know, if you wanted to look at it this way, the tank that my car came equipped with, the diesel tank, is 13 gallons. The tank that I had installed for the veggie oil is 18. So if I wanted to on a trip, I could go 31, I could go 31 gallons without having to refuel. But just to be using the veggie oil tank, there are a few options there. One is to take some with you. To take either some straight veggie oil or some filtered veggie oil with you on the trip. Another is that depending on where you're going, there may be, if you wanted to use biodiesel, there may be a station where you could fill up there. Or, you know, this is really catching on, and there are more and more communities. I think my speculation, I don't know this for sure, but my speculation is that the area of the country I'm in, the Southeast, is probably the part of our country where this is being done the least. And even here, there are places like Memphis, Tennessee, for example, has a huge amount of momentum going right now toward biofuels in all forms, with their public transportation and government vehicles and for private use as well. So there are some places, like, for example, the place where I had my conversion done in Tampa is going to start selling their own filtered veggie oil. So in many instances like that, you could just go and purchase it somewhere. You could take it with you. Or, you know, if worse came to worse and you were on a trip, you didn't know where to, you hadn't brought any with you, you didn't know where to find it. I mean, you can go into any supermarket if you're willing to pay a couple dollars more and get veggie oil. So there's really a few options in that regard.
Now, if you said biodiesel, would you put that in the diesel tank or would you put that in the veggie oil tank?
You could put it in either.
Okay.
You could put straight diesel into I don't know why you would, but you could put it straight into the veggie tank. It wouldn't
okay.
hurt anything.
And how's the performance with the car running on the oil?
The performance it was one of the strange things about it to me, is that there's no way to tell. The car just doesn't react any differently. The gas mileage is the same. If you're driving down the road at any speed and you flip the switch from diesel to veggie oil, there's no stutter, there's just no nothing. You don't feel it. You absolutely can't tell the difference. You know, I'm really pleased, really happy that I did it and feel very enthusiastic about trying to encourage other people to look into different options. And I've been excited about the fact in my community that there does appear to be some interest now, some increased interest in people getting involved in this. So
yeah,
I'm happy to see that.
Well, I think just the fact that you're driving around in a regular car doing this and not some funky old pickup truck that, you know, people aren't going to see themselves in is one big way that you're getting it out there, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so.
If people want to get more information about this, where are some good resources on the web or elsewhere to go?
On the web, I have a small site up on MySpace, which would be a good starting point. So it's myspace.com/BigBenBiofuels. Again, I don't have any relationship other than being a customer with the company that I used, but I've been really impressed with them. And the reason I went with them is because they were so willing to spend time with me from a customer service standpoint even before I purchased the system. So I would encourage people to check out Golden Fuel is the name of the company. I think it's just goldenfuel.com on the internet. The place that I had my conversion installation done is in Tampa, Florida, and they've been really helpful as well, and they're really excited about getting people involved in this. That's Loki Trucks, Lokey. If you just type in biofuel on Google, you know, you'll have as much reading to do as you can imagine. There's really a lot of interest in this. There's a company based in Los Angeles that's called Lovecraft Biofuels that actually does the more kind of streamlined version that doesn't have the two-tank system. If people are interested in looking at some of the different options and, you know, making their own decisions about what's the best system, that's an example of a conversion company that uses a different kind of system.
Well, thank you, Damien, for sharing your knowledge and for explaining it. Hopefully it will motivate some people to maybe even consider converting a diesel engine.
Well, thank you very much for your interest and your willingness to help get the word out about this kind of stuff.
So, Damien, since we're pirate pods, we like to end our interviews by asking our guests to give us their best pirate impression. You got one for us?
Sure. This is Damien Filer encouraging you to listen to the pirate pods.
Thank you, Damien.
Thanks, Damien.